Hey, what's going on? It's the Film Drunk Frogcast, your favorite podcast about movies where guys don't really talk about movies and they just talk to each other about stuff. Coming at you not live from the Frog Quarters in San Francisco. Did I already say that? I can't remember. It's hard when we do two intros like this. Across from me, I got the irregular regular, the Steinbeck of podcasting.
Say my name.
Oh, yeah, Matt Lieb.
Jesus Christ.
I forgot about that.
You forgot a lot of things so far.
Yeah.
I had a catchphrase and everything.
What's your cat?
Oh. Well, now it doesn't work as
now
well.
It's done.
But it was going to be a, take my life, please. Which is like a more old-timey way of saying kill me.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
That's good. And we got Brett. I don't know how to introduce you anymore.
Because you're afraid?
Yes.
What? Why are you afraid?
I don't know.
You took the drugs. You should feel good about introducing me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to yell. I mean, I'm going to yell at you.
He does that.
It's not going to matter how you introduce me.
But I need that. Clearly, I need that in my life.
You do.
What? So I keep him around. I need someone to be mean to me sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
And say the mean things and the hurtful things.
That's why I have you.
Brett is
in
like
my
sweet
life.
And sour sauce. Sometimes he's really mean and sometimes he's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Is that why you enjoy sweet and sour sauce? Because sometimes it tastes different to you?
It's really a misnomer. It is kind of just sweet sauce.
Yeah. There's no sour to it. No. I mean, I have had sour, sweet and sour sauce where I've been like, this is disgusting.
I made this wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's usually like they just do the wrong thing.
Yeah. So today we are going to talk about the Jinx. Maybe a little I Hate Christian Leitner.
Sure.
Who knows? I thought Brendan was going to be here. I was going to ask him about West Borland. So we got two guys in the news that both sound like Limp Bizkit people, which is Chris Borland retired from the 49ers at the age of 24 after one season.
Right.
And as a 49ers fan, so everybody was freaking out about Patrick Willis retiring, and I was like, it's all right. We still got Borland is really good, and Bowman's coming. We still got two of the best middle linebackers.
A lot of depth there.
In the NFL.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Now they both retired.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of them at the age of 24.
Yeah.
And he only had like $400,000. What a bonehead, huh? You know, it's just ride out that career a little bit. You know,
this is Gary from Fremont.
Hey, this is Gary from Fremont. He should have faked an injury for a while, just been like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to take the money and run. Instead, now he's just some poor person with $400,000.
I'm actually just going to read some of PFT commenters' post on the matter.
Because this will sum it up.
Pretty great.
Yeah,
it's a dark day in America when football players have become. For the people who don't know, PFT commenter is a parody based on Pro Football Talk commenters. And I was trying to explain to my friend who asked me, like, what is PFT commenter? I was trying to explain it to him because he didn't, you know, he's not that internet savvy. And then today, Pro Football Talk sent out a tweet that just, like, sort of summed it up perfectly. Like earlier today, they tweeted, Americans routinely assume far greater physical risks for far less money and fame than the risk reward of playing in the NFL.
They actually wrote
they
that.
They did that. Yeah, and then Matt Ufford, our buddy, he wrote back, as someone who actually did take that risk for his country, I'd appreciate not using my dead friends for leverage here. And then they responded to him, which is even ballsier. And I had an uncle who was decapitated in a coal mine. The truth is the truth.
Wow.
So here's the thing. I followed PFT commenter before I knew that Pro Football Talk was a real thing. And I thought
me too.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it was actually based on an actual site or is it
I think it's a website. I'm not sure if it's a talk show, but it's
this
perfectly
Florio guy, right?
Is he on there?
It's the dude that runs it or whatever.
All I know is it's like perfectly analogous to like Yahoo Answers.
Right,
or just
Yahoo Commenters. If you ever go to any news story on Yahoo and read the comments, it's always like, oh, bummer, is destroying America.
Yeah.
It's sort of like extremism, whether it's right wing or left wing, always seems to follow the similar idiots, they kind of overlap in the same way.
Yeah, anonymous ones.
It's a spectrum. It circles back around to the poor grammar, regardless of whether
it's true.
It's like Elysium. It's a big ring.
I don't know what that
it, the
what
ring, is that? It's shaped like a ring.
Like the snake with its butt?
Yeah, or
Ouroboros. Matt Damon. He was in
we'll that. Call it Duroboros.
Yeah. Ah, I like it.
So PFT commenter. The post is called Climate Change and Concussions, How Junk Science is Turning Our Nation into a Pussy.
And you missed reading it you miss some of the wonderful choices in, in malapropisms and spelling.
Sometimes he'll just fuck up an easy word like in, and it'll just be knee instead because he's writing too fast.
It's easy to overdo it, and I don't think I've ever seen one where he takes it too far.
Right.
Where it's always just the right amount of
he takes the puns really far, but like when you take a pun too far, it makes it that much better.
It does.
Yeah. It's a dark day in America when football players have become so selfish that they're choosing to quit playing the sport we love to watch them play. I guess it wasn't enough for the gotcha neuroscientists to have the brains of players, but now they have their ears too, and these quacks are making them care more about their own health than my entertainment. I warned you last week that the league is about to be hit by a tidal wave of players retiring early who are more concerned about getting a gold watch than a Super Bowl ring, and it looks like I was right again. America has long been known as a nation that's not afraid to do the cool thing, even if it's wrong. Put this in high school terms. Sometimes it's important to pull the nice lunch lady's wig off and throw it in the middle of the cafeteria floor and make her cry just so the rest of your school knows you've still got that biting sense of humor. But now the nerds have taken over our national discourse and their agenda is to turn the jocks into pussies just like they are so that they can feel cool. At some point, folks in this country started listening to the smart people instead of the popular people, and it was all downhill from there. Hell, I can't even burn styrofoam inside my own city library anymore without some mayor telling me that it's bad for the environment. Sometimes I wish we were more like Russia instead of living under the autocratic Obama regime, who just does whatever he damn well pleases. Obama's 10 years will be known as the time the whole USA was on its period, and I want a leader, not a bleeder, folks. This all came to a head, no offense to Mike Florio's uncle. Last night, when Chris Borland of the San Francisco 49ers decided to retire despite him still being healthy, which is like deciding to get drunk despite not going through the DTs, or like deciding to have sex without being horny. Folks, if I wanted to see an NFL grit story get shut down after one season, I would have watched Playmakers. Let's look at this objectively, facts only, and see if Borland is really making the right decision. Here's a chart that shows you how many players have concussions in the NFL and how many have concussions elsewhere.
The chart's amazing. Yeah.
You won't hear this from the mainstream science journals, but statistically speaking, you're much more likely to get a concussion if you're not an NFL player. You have to play the percentages, and it's pretty obvious that Borland is taking a big risk with his mental health by quitting. I don't care about physical pain. I care about Thomas Paine, and these doctors need to start using more common sense instead of trying to score outlandish dollars. A great point to make is that a woodpecker never quits because of CTE.
That's such a beautiful line.
So all these players saying that football's for the birds, well, guess what? They're actually right, technically. Quote, thank you for the compliment, birds.
It's so dense, and there's so many loopbacks. Yeah, it's like it's tailored to my heart. Like I put the little jacket on my heart, and it fits first try.
Right. I always love a parable, like a parody that's not quite a parody. Like it's just kind of like it's constantly going in like absurdist directions. Yeah. Actually, being a football fan like me is more dangerous, brave, selfless job than actually playing the game. Drinking alcohol while watching NFL 4 days a week is like suffering millions of tiny concussions. I know I'm doing long-term damage to my brain and liver, but I keep doing it because I love it. Hell, I'd probably even get drunk for free. I realize that because I've sacrificed so much for the game, I'm not as sharp as I used to be due to being intoxicated 8 months out of the year. That's my cross to bear, but I wouldn't change a minute of the glory. So I sometimes have to sit down and make a list when I'm telling other people what decisions I think they should make. So here's a simple pro and con chart for whether or not you should retire. Pro, you have your money and you're healthy. Your wife is nagging you to spend more time around the house and be alive when you're older and stuff. Your team just fired Jim Harbaugh and traded and cut every good player on your roster.
Oh.
Con, don't be a pussy. You know, I know another headbanger named Borland who quit on his team. Wes Borland, the guitar player from Limp Bizkit.
Yep.
He tried to start a side project, and now I don't know. He's dead, probably. Being in Limp Bizkit was the only thing that kept structure and accountability in his life. Just like being in the NFL is the only thing I think that Chris Borland should care about. I want a guy who does it all for the nookie, not a guy who thinks he did it all as a rookie. And in my opinion, Chris is the only one who stuck looking like a chump. Hey, like a chump.
That is so
and
good.
And the speed with which he did that, because Ufford's comment happened in the morning East Coast time. By the time I was up, he had posted that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to just absorb, like, he goes through the rage cycle. Like, he must have felt something as a human being before he was a parody cat.
Yeah.
I was still mad about the original thing by the time he had posted that. Like, he'd gone all the way through the cycle and back into, like, all right, let's make this into it. Like, let's spin this shit weasel into gold.
Yeah.
And it's like a little thin.
Yeah.
Rumpel shit skin.
Yeah.
Straight up. That is the funniest shit ever.
Yeah.
So, do we still not know who PFT Commenter is?
I think I have. I think he accidentally sent me an email from his real name one time, but I don't remember what it is.
All right, fair enough.
But he has not. He told me that we would get the exclusive when he decides to take off the mask of a character.
Nice.
As has, or maybe that was Danger Guerrero. I think it was both of them. So look, future exclusive for all you Frogcast listeners out there.
Ooh, exciting.
We call that a tease.
Yeah.
We get a sponsor and I start doing things professional. Like,
yeah.
Got new mic covers, not spitting in them no more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right. I
I'm still spitting on them.
I realized that I'm going to do the Audible free trial for myself because I really want to listen to The Disaster Artist
based on
your recommendation. And then I think Schnitzel Bob also said he really liked it. And
I've had like at least four or five people say that. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then I realized, I was like, oh, I should really do that. And I was like, you know what? I'll do the Audible free trial that we get because of our own. We should be able to get it for free.
We will have an interview with those people too. Because I kind of dropped the ball in that I met Greg Sestro like a year ago. And one of the 5 second film guys that I've known for a few years is actually kind of the guy who sort of started the cult of the room.
Really?
Yeah, Mike Rousselet. And
how did he start the cult?
I think he was one of the first people that sort of started going to, like, convincing people, like, dude, you gotta see this horrible movie.
Yeah, wow, that's awesome. Yeah.
And he's got the new Hulu series out that is, I hear, unwatchable.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, Neighbors?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna. I mean, I'll probably check it out just to see. But there's, it's a comedy. It's supposed to be a comedy.
It's always bad when someone who's earnest realizes that he's funny and then
he tries to force it.
Yeah, he tries to play up the novelty value. It's like someone with a funny accent and they start trying to overdo their own.
Right. Yeah.
Accent.
And I think that's part of it too. I'm sure he tries to overdo his. I mean, the whole point is he's trying so hard to hide.
Yes.
His intentions.
Yeah.
I'm from Louisiana.
Yeah,
I'm from Louisiana, and he's so like transparent. That's what makes it hilarious. It's like I know what you're fucking doing. Like you're watching The Room. You're like, we get it. You're saying you're a really good person, Tommy Wiseau, and he's amazing. But I'm not gonna see. I'm probably not gonna watch it. Neighbors.
We are gonna have Laramie on eventually. Sweet. He should be on Skype now, but he's not. I don't know what he's doing.
Could could be anything.
It was another tease. That's just
We'll find out what Laramie's doing in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So the Jinx.
Yes. Now, do we know if Laramie saw the Jinx?
I think he did, but you know what? He can get here when he gets here.
Get here and talk about it then. Yeah. So the Jinx is like pretty much the best thing I've ever seen.
So someone in some sort of common thread, someone was like, "I'm glad this was actually good and not some bullshit hype like Serial." Uh-huh. And I don't know. I have mixed feelings because I've always been into true crime stuff like this.
Uh-huh.
And I think part of the bargain with true crime is that, sometimes you don't get closure.
Sure.
And it's kind of more fun just to find out about the people and the situation, at least for me. Like, I'm not necessarily going into it looking for, like, a mystery to be solved, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not why I didn't like Serial. Why I didn't like Serial was I realized that at one point in the show, when I realized that they were because I didn't know this the first few episodes, that they were going week by week and recording it that week and with no plan in particular. So once I realized that, I kind of saw how it was a little bit scattered and kind of like where they were going, mm-hmm. and what road they wanted to go down. And then I realized they were starting to draw conclusions that were really dangerous conclusions to draw. Like Jay is a murderer. They spent like the first six episodes.
I don't think they drew a conclusion.
I definitely thought Jay was a murderer.
Yeah, they didn't specifically say Jay is a murderer. They didn't explicitly state it, but they kept drawing the conclusion. Who's this Jay guy? And obviously Jay is. They never said obviously Jay is the murderer, but they all but said that.
They were like, this is the evidence that this is the flimsy evidence that they convicted Adnan on.
Right. And then all they had was
they have this one guy who's like the main witness. Right. But his testimony was sketchy. And then later you're like, okay, well, he has a pretty good explanation of why.
Right. But I kind of felt like that's when I lost faith in the style of reporting that Serial is, which is like, let's just you guys will be updated when we're updated. It's like, that's why I liked the Jinx so much, is because like it was perfect.
But how is it any different?
It's different because
they withheld information from the police until they could tell a good story.
Well, no, they didn't. They did give the information to the police like 2 years ago or something like that. That's what I read.
Okay.
But what they did was they created a story out of all six episodes. They created like an arc. They even did some foreshadowing. I mean, at one point he's like, you know, talking to himself, you know, that is a hard question to answer. Robert Durst is talking to himself, trying to practice a line, and then the guy goes, "Hey, your mic is on."
Yeah.
Just so you know, they can hear every word you're saying. That's it, like this little touches like that that you wouldn't expect to come back later. Like, oh man, I mean, it's like the difference between good storytelling and just kind of like
riffing,
and just riffing, and which is, it's almost like if we did a podcast that was true crime, and every week we just said, hey, what evidence did you get today? And then we all just kind of say, hey, you know, it seems like Jay's the murderer.
Okay,
yeah.
But I think that. A, I think the Jinx was also riffing. And B,
yeah.
I think the thing that bugs me when people are like, oh, the Jinx is so much better, I think they're saying that because there's some idea that they got closure at the end, which is silly to me because on the first episode of the show, you're like, okay, this one guy, his wife disappeared, his spokesperson got shot in the back of the head, and he admitted to killing this third guy. So it's like, yeah, if you didn't realize that he killed all three of those people, you're a fucking idiot.
No, that's all
you needed to know.
Like, no, for sure.
And then to make it like that there's new evidence because he was talking to himself about God knows what. That's not really evidence. No, he's going to get off again.
No, here's the thing. The him being actually getting arrested, like having that recent thing, you know, that thing happen to him, is not why I liked the show. I liked the show because they put time into it and they really I don't know. I guess it's not fair to compare it to Serial. Go ahead.
So, I mean, disclaimer, I haven't seen it yet. I just read the article that them potentially withholding stuff could affect the trial that he's now going through.
Oh, okay.
That's all I know about the Jinx other than he did it.
Uh-huh.
Serial,
they actually didn't withhold information.
I just read the headline, man.
So I don't actually know
that.
Okay, what happened was like the part that was like the big reveal was him having his mic on when he goes to the bathroom, and they didn't know they even had that audio until like 2 years after they did the interview. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So that's all I know about this. But with Serial, I think it's
supposedly.
Okay. I think it's okay. I was excited about the format more than I was about the true crime story.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to pat myself on the balls, but like, I knew it was going to end this way and I was still pumped up on it. And
right.
I did the right thing, which was stop halfway through. Like, I didn't listen past the J episode. Yeah. And I feel really good about my Serial experience.
Why is that? Oh, just
because I lost interest. Like, I was like, oh, I see there's no, that's the end of their information. And
right.
It was the end of their information. Like, that's as far as I can tell.
I disagree.
I think you can riff, and I think you can riff on true events as they happen, but I think they ran out of material. And I think they needed a way to like be like, all right, here's the continuation of the format with additional material from somewhere else. Like when the room goes quiet, switch what you're saying. Like they didn't.
I thought they kind of did that.
But my problem is they were playing detective
but giving themselves this, like, what, 10-episode limit or something. And they're like, well, if we don't solve this case by by episode 10, then if you're
I think it, it's the same thing we did with Whoop Dreams, which was, you know, what I wanted to do was sort of, you know, we finished shooting at the gathering. I wanted to go back and sort of revisit some of this.
I think
every good documentary, like, there's a time it takes. Sometimes it takes a really long time
to finish a good
story.
Exactly. And but, I feel like the Jinx, they definitely did that. I mean, they've been shooting it for 2 years, 3 years, or something like that. And you know, is that Laramie?
Yeah, he's. All right, you can keep talking.
No, but, I just hope he saw Serial because
I'm sure he did. Laramie doesn't do anything except
he's probably doing it right now.
He's probably just sitting at home like practicing.
Yeah. It's just watching TV and talking to the TV. Like, when I get a chance to talk about this, here's what I'm going to say. What are you going to say?
What do you think, Bugsy?
Oh, Bugsy.
Check your lease, fellas. We're living in Fuck City.
That is what he's going to say.
See, yeah, I told you. He was practicing that in the mirror. He's like, what do you think about this opener, Bugsy?
He loves it. Bugsy's going to bark in, like, I'd say about 30 seconds because someone's going to come in the door. So just get ready for that.
Yes, I like that. So
it's going to happen.
We're mid discussion of the Jinx.
Oh, okay.
And then relating to true crime and narrative structure in general.
So
sure.
Like riffage versus construction.
So I think the selling point of the Jinx isn't there's no unknown on whether he did or didn't do it. I think the big reveal with the Jinx is just all the various crazy shit that Robert Durst has done and continues to do. Yes!
What I tell you, like clockwork.
Some true crime
happening
right now.
Did he just crash into a jar? What was that sound at the end?
He goes very, very fast. That was him on the tile sliding to get around the corner.
You'd think that dogs would learn.
No.
So the latest, this is from TMZ. Robert Durst was apparently trying to change his identity with a latex rubber mask and a new name.
Right, yeah.
when the authorities swooped in and arrested him. According to the search warrant, which we obtained, the mask, which was recovered in the New Orleans hotel room where he was arrested, covered his head and neck and served to completely alter the characteristics of his face.
Nice.
Cops also found a fake Texas ID with the name Everett Ward. According to the warrant, Durst was using the mask and an ID to flee the country. Also included in the docs, Durst had more than $42,000 in cash, but the money was in $100 bills parceled out in various small envelopes.
And did he have a bag of weed, too? He always has a bag of weed with him.
I didn't see the weed.
Why would you have to cover your neck?
He was carrying a 30. Well, I think part of the appeal is that he's so crazy and crazy in different ways, and he's basically... He's kind of like a bonehead criminal and yet has gotten away with it.
Right. He is like a savant.
Like he misspelled Beverly Hills the same way on both of those envelopes, which is kind of like the ultimate idiot move. Yeah. Got arrested for stealing a sandwich.
Yeah.
He fucking shaved all his hair off and was pretending to be a mute woman. Like, who the fuck is going to believe that? Then he's got the rubber mask. It's like...
The first time I ever heard about him, it was over at Talk 9. We were doing a...
hey, this is Gary Fremont. What? I don't think people should be able to kill people. And I think Obama has made it acceptable for people. I think he destroyed the institution of marriage, and people are killing each other out there right now, and I don't like that very much.
I think it's completely reasonable that someone would accidentally kill someone, cut up their body, and put them into the water. I just don't see how that's murder, but that's just me. The first time I ever heard about him was there was a story about a rich billionaire multimillionaire named Robert Durst who went into a CVS, bought... his prescription, and then went into the candy aisle and just pissed all over the candy. and then they were like, this guy, by the way, is also suspected in like three murders or two murders, and then also got free of. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Yeah. And then they were like, HBO's making a documentary about him. I was like, this better be in the documentary about him pissing on. That didn't make the cut.
Right.
That's how interesting Robert Durst is. Him pissing on the candy aisle is like, oh, that's the least of his problems.
He's like. I mean, other than the murders, he's like this beautiful, real-life, misanthropic troll who's just like out to fuck up people's shit for no gain most of the time.
He's Johnny Knoxville meets Zodiac.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah.
I'm here to make life interesting. That's he's kind of catfish. Sounds like the Joker too.
Can you hear them?
He's like a Jewish Joker.
Another thing that didn't make the cut, which I also have in my tabs, this was in an interview with his brother. Before the disappearance of my sister-in-law, Bob had a series of Alaskan Malamutes, which is like a husky. He had seven of them, and they all died, mysteriously, of different things within 6 months of owning them.
What the fuck?
All of them named Igor.
What the fuck?
What? We don't know how they died and what happened to the bodies, or what happened to the bodies.
Oh, he made them into one dog.
That would seem like a warning sign.
In retrospect, I now believe he was practicing killing and disposing of his wife using the dogs.
What? Wait a second. His brother thought this?
Yeah.
When did
offended by that than the other killings.
When did his brother ever get interviewed?
This was a New York Times interview in January.
Of this year?
Yeah.
Wow. So, because
and again, that didn't make the cut of the of the show.
No, because you see him with all these like Malamutes. I noticed that very much because I love Malamutes. That's my favorite dog.
They're big huskies,
to
really.
To kill.
Yeah, they're well, it's my favorite to kill, too.
They're all big and soft, like marsh Malamutes.
As it's happening, they can't believe it. That's why. You're just like, why are you doing this? And then they fade away slowly.
What did I do?
It's fucked up. But yeah.
And they have the bluest eyes, like an ocean.
Well, it depends. We had a Malamute. My family had brown eyes.
Had some fucking bullshit genetic Malamutes.
No, then. They said you want the brown eyes because it means they're less inbred. But it turned out mine were literally, literally brother and sister made my dog. It turned out. And then it died of cancer.
Ah.
Yep. Anyway. Or maybe Robert Durst killed it. I don't know. I didn't see it die. But yeah, so yeah, I didn't even know that. He killed all of his fucking Malamutes?
Yeah.
Fucking piece of shit. I'm so glad. And him being arrested, that's not why I like the Jinx. The Jinx is good because it told a great fucking story. Because
it's this crazy guy. He's like fucking Jake Gyllenhaal in Nightcrawler. You don't know what the hell this guy's going to do. He's capable of anything.
Yeah.
At one point, I saw something online where they had that super cut of him doing the super hard blinks after many of the things that he says.
Oh, yeah.
And someone's theory was like, oh, he's wearing these doe-eyed contact lenses to make himself look innocent. And if you look at him, he does have giant pupils.
Giant eyes!
And you're kind of like, with most people, you'd be like, oh, wow, that's a silly internet theory. But with Robert Durst, you're kind of like, yeah, I could see that.
Because like me and my girlfriend have been watching it, and the whole time we're just like, why are his eyes all black? We can't understand it. It's just like nothing, but there's like a little bit of white in his eyes. Mm-hmm. But I think you think he's trying to look cute because he just looks like a demon.
Yeah, he does.
I hate it. Yeah, it's just like he's a scary looking
think
dude.
The season two of The Jinx should be about his wife that he has now.
Who marries a person like that?
No, see this lady. She is... she's insane too. What's her fucking deal?
Well, now there's articles coming out where she's actually the mastermind of the Durst
Malamute killings.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know.
Really?
Well, I mean, she clearly you can't date this guy without knowing that he killed three people unless you're severely.
She's on the list though. She was gonna get murdered by him eventually.
Why? At some point, you gotta be like, "Fuck due process. Let's throw these people in the ocean."
Yeah.
Like when do you just call it? When you're like, fuck it, man. Like, this is hard and they're bad. We should just put them in the ocean.
Well, that's what we're doing now. We're going to do the OJ thing with them where it's like, okay, we don't have any new evidence. We have him talking to himself.
The whole world just noticed at once, like, wait a minute.
Yeah. And for once, it was like people other than Jeanine Pirro. Because when Jeanine Pirro noticed it, everybody's like, well, that chick is way crazier than he is. So yeah. I don't trust her. Like, I trust her less than Durst.
Yeah, that was the problem when everyone was like shitting on like when everyone. Here's the thing: if a whole jury full of people, I don't care where they're from, look at you and say like you seem like you're out to get him, maybe adjust like learn as a politician. Should you not learn how to adjust your attitude and the way you sound? Because like, I don't want to. You know, obviously there was something in there that you know, like it was good lawyers in general, but like the fact that Jeanine Pirro, that's her name, right? Jeanine Pirro. Like everyone on that jury was like, she a bitch.
Yeah.
She probably just nagging Robert Durst so much that he had to kill that person.
Like, pretty much. That was essentially the defense.
That was And it made me realize, like, yeah, obviously that's a problem with the jury. I mean, and that's a very good lawyer to convince that. But also, again, maybe Jeanine Pirro, maybe maybe there's something wrong with you, right? I mean, yeah. Am I crazy?
Okay, so two thoughts. One, I think being a TV talking head literally turns you into a lizard person.
Yeah, it really.
Because
does.
Like, you can, like, she's been on TV too long to where she gets in front of a camera and people are like, "There's that uncanny valley reaction."
Yeah,
like, she's got something off about her.
Her eyes were more dead than Robert Durst's.
Yeah,
and you get those chameleon fingers where like the two stick together and you got that like three finger claw and you're just like grabbing the branches. She's grabbing the branches all slow. She's like, I understand the pyramids now.
She's got her hair has like that waxy it's got like a waxy film on it, like, so she looks like she's been motion captured. Like there's fucking Andy Serkis in the other room and he's like,
the chameleon claw.
How do I pretend to be a prosecutor?
The chameleon claw is such a specific reference. It's just like
with her eyes just spinning around in the sockets, looking at different stuff. She's doing push-ups on a rock.
I'm practicing law.
I can camouflage myself.
Yeah, no, she did seem kind of abrasive. But, I mean, you know, that's just that, through no fault of her own. She's probably just like, this is how I talk. This is, and for the most part.
No, I think that's through all fault of her own.
No, I think for the most part, people are... threatened by like a powerful
threatened by a powerful woman who looks like she's psychotic.
Well, she definitely looks like she's psychotic, but like she was I could see how people would think that, but
people don't want to share a beer with a powerful lizard.
would you have a beer with this chameleon?
Yeah, I mean I don't know, I just thought like she might be kind
when you hit it from the back, Matt Lieb.
Well, I'd hit her from the front. She was gorgeous. What are you talking about? But I'd hit anyone from any angle.
Any angle?
Yeah.
From the side.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
That was Ralph Nader's book.
I'll hit anyone.
Unsafe from any angle.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There it is.
About the seatbelts.
Yeah.
I just feel like I feel like fucking, I don't know, man. The cereal in general. You listen to all the cereal, right, Laramie?
No, I'm not. I'm not a bleeding heart liberal.
Okay, you know? That's fair.
Okay,
do only okay. Liberals listen to true crime?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it was this one was NPR. So yeah.
I did have a long conversation today with some friends about which NPR anchors that I liked the least.
Oh yeah.
God, that must be your favorite conversation.
Dude. Pretty much.
Were you just in cloud nine? Just be like, yep. Here, hey, look, I prepared a little sheet here. Mm-hmm. Like when you get the acceptance speech and you totally prepared for it. And you're just like, all right, it's Vince's time to shine. I want to thank my mom. I want to thank my dad.
Fuck you, Ira Glass.
Yeah, fuck you, Ira Glass.
Wait, who? But who won?
Lakshmi Singh.
Lakshmi Singh.
There was a lot of people that don't like Sarah Vowell's voice because she does sound like a...
The uptake or whatever it's
she
called.
She does sound like a lispy Southern baby.
Uh-huh.
Which I
like that. I like that.
I don't mind her as much. Zoe Chace has a horrific Chicago-type accent, which does bug me. But for me, it's not necessarily the quality of the voice, but like the two ladies on Invisibilia, they're like... Over-caffeinated kindergarten teachers.
How much fucking NPR do you listen to?
A lot. Like, a lot.
It's the only thing that people seem to... There seems to be a huge national audience for.
Do you have,
in
like,
terms
season
of audio.
Tickets in the studio or something? What's going on?
No, when I run out of... When I'm out of audio Audible books and I'm trying to, like... I'm trying to eke out the days until my next credit before I can get a book, I listen to like, a lot of NPR podcasts.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, and Invisibilia is like the one that they advertised on This American Life for a while, and it's very good. Like the story, as always, like they have great production quality. But the problem is sometimes the production quality is like a little too good, where you get a nerd who just like sits there and over edits the shit out of everything. Where
right.
Someone makes like a toss off reference to Russia, and they like cut in Russian sounding music just for no reason. I'm like, dude, just stop.
Yeah,
stop.
Yeah. The problem with that too is it's really hard to listen to in the car. Like both Radiolab and This American Life coming through speakers in your vehicle with the white noise of driving, totally unlistenable because they keep their levels. Well, there's a big horn. There's a big horn section, and it's always like toot toot blang blang blang.
Yeah,
right.
That's like they'll have a good story and then they just have to cut it to shit, and like they'll put sound effects of this person that they're interviewing, like cooking bacon or something in there. And you're like, I didn't need that. Just interview the fucking person, please. Yeah, I don't need this, like, I don't need the local color in my radio interview.
Did you ever see that Onion article, Ira Glass exhausted from recording every sound effect and voice in the episodes. It's like when I had to do a boys choir, I had to film each or record each one individually and put them together. It's pretty great.
Yeah, he's like the guy from Police Academy.
Yeah.
Eddie Winslow.
That guy should definitely have a podcast.
I bet he does.
I've seen him do stand up.
Yeah, that's what he used to do.
In an Arizona bar with like eight people, I saw him do stand up. I said, "You're a fucking pussy." No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that at all. I felt
you're
really
just,
bad for
you're him. Just trying to fit in.
I mean, after he got out of the set, he went down, you know, to the bridge and put out a sleeping bag, and so.
Aww.
That's fucked up.
No, that guy makes a ton of money.
Why you gotta talk shit on Eddie Winslow?
You think
it's not
asked?
Eddie Winslow, isn't it? That's still. It's not, but it's not Carl Winslow.
No, he's in Die Hard.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna
and
Google
also Family Matters.
I'm gonna Google sound effects guy from a Police Academy and see what comes up.
I guarantee
up.
You,
Michael Winslow.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Because Eddie Winslow is Carl Winslow's son.
They had his name like appearing tonight at
yes,
the
Michael
you know,
Winslow.
The rattlesnake on like a whiteboard. You know, Michael Winslow in quotes or whatever. It was pretty great.
It's hey, you know what? But I bet he still got his. Money.
Oh, he can't.
I think
his.
He got money for the drinks. I think he was getting a Harvard share.
Oh, don't. You know what?
He gets a per diem and a per drinkum.
He did a lot of voices.
That's some Arizona level
he
comedy
didn't just
right
do
there.
Voices.
You are ready.
He did sounds.
Yeah, he mostly relied on the sounds.
He does do it.
Are those horns?
It's all the same noise.
He honestly did a lot of bacon sounds, which is.
He does do a thing where he'll do mouth effects to a Led Zeppelin song, and he'll be playing like the drums, the rhythm guitar, and the guitar solo all with his mouth at the same time, which is pretty incredible.
Solo with his mouth, and I was like,
you know, women after the show are like, "Hey, I'd like to take you back somewhere, please."
Yeah,
and use your mouth for greater good.
Yeah, and then they just say, "All right, now can you do a fan noise? It helps me sleep."
Yeah, give me white noise, Mike.
Oh, that's sad.
That's the worst white noise I've ever heard, Laramie.
It's like a baby raptor a little bit.
Go to sleep.
Might be the same thing. I don't know.
So, Laramie, what have you been up to?
You know, just rolling, doing my thing, being the best Laramie I can be, eating tacos.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, that's cool. We got
making
a couple,
my own salsa.
We did get a couple voicemails this week.
Ooh.
From who?
Hey guys, Jeff from Orlando here.
Just, Jeff from Orlando.
I just took some Maker's Mark and mixed it with Jack Daniel's.
Oh.
So that's a good whiskey, a mediocre whiskey, and I somehow ended up with a worse whiskey. Anyways, it reminded me of your website and the podcast. Oh. Keep frying, guys.
Wait, his mediocre whiskey reminded him of this podcast.
Here's the real question: which one's good?
Yeah, that's
which
right.
One's mediocre?
Yeah,
because I mean, together,
if you're living in Orlando, you know,
that's a good point.
I think this one's even meaner.
Oh, I'm excited.
Hey, podcast, what's up? This is Ben from Cincy. I wanted to leave a message to say two things. Vince, I've been reading Film Drunk since 2008, a long-time lurker. It is awesome. Thanks for being awesome.
Okay, maybe not.
Secondly, that's I want nice. To make the prediction that of all of the people on the broadcast, Matt Lieb will be the one that becomes famous.
Yeah.
He'll become famous because Vince is the only one that's truly talented there. Someone famous will read Vince's blog and like it, and then they'll come listen to the broadcast and realize how hilarious Matt Lieb is. Yeah.
Oh.
They'll hire him not for being a good actor, but for being Matt Lieb.
Yeah,
they're going to hire him as like this outrageous character that is Matt Lieb, and then he'll become huge and never return to the broadcast again. And that
wow.
is my prediction.
Sounds all pretty. That all sounds pretty plausible.
Well,
I don't know about the talented part, but
that's the fucking plan, bro.
If you become too famous, though, I will cut your face off and use it on mine.
Oh yeah, for sure. Wait, but what was the thing about talented? Did he say it sounded like it was all nice, and then I missed the thing about talent.
I think he's mad that you are going to use Vince to like slingshot around the moon,
oh.
and then like up into heaven where you belong. but should not have gotten there on your own without the moon. No, which is Vince.
I think he's saying that I'm talented and it'll bring someone in, and then they'll realize that I'm not super likable, and then they'll see that Matt Lieb is like much more likable and
so it's like
funnier.
He's more of a bland likable.
That's a likable for TV.
Yeah.
It was a good prediction and a backhanded compliment all in one kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, that's I can't tell. You know, because it just seemed pretty backhanded. Like, the whole thing is like, yeah, well, thanks for saying that good things will happen, but mostly you're
He's probably going to play himself.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That was Matt Lieb.
Not because he's
himself.
A good actor, but because he's Matt Lieb. It's like, that doesn't make sense if I'm nobody. That's like, it would be something if it meant that I was something anyway good, but it's just like, nah, you know, they'll see you like eating butt and stuff, and they'll be like, yeah, okay, that guy. I don't think that works like that.
Do more of that guy.
Yeah. Oh, by the way,
yeah,
we got a disclaimer for our listeners: no snitching.
Oh,
snitches no get stitches. Snitching.
Wait, oh, what? Yeah.
Did someone snitched on Matt?
On all right. Matt
about eating butt?
No. I mean, actually, kind of yes. All right, so let me say, first of all, listeners, we appreciate, you know, everything. I appreciate everything you guys do. I appreciate Vince. Let me slingshot
like the moon.
Like the moon.
Do me next.
I appreciate Laramie the way, like, yeah. You know. Cut away for a while. Half of his face wasn't working.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
I appreciate how Laramie looks a little bit like Glenn Danzig.
Yeah,
I appreciate Brett.
Don't do me.
Okay, I don't appreciate him. I appreciate Brandon. I appreciate Ben, and I appreciate you. Here's the point. The point I was making was no snitching, bruh. My girlfriend and I got into a conversation about like, what's the weirdest thing you've done sexually, for me is like, you know, well, just I talk about that all the time, which also, by the way, is a big, like, that's a hard question to answer with her specifically, because it's like, I don't know, we've done pretty much everything weird that has ever been, that, you know, like, I can't be like, you know, the point is we do a lot of weird shit. And I was like, I don't know if I've ever done anything weirder than you. And then I realized, like, oh no, there was that time that that girl, you know, choked me out and spit on my face in my mom's minivan, right? So I talk about that story to her. I say, like, you know, it was this crazy girl and whatnot, and I say she, you know, spit on my face. She choked me out,
you looked out the window whistling, and I missed that chick.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. What happened is I said, you know, what she did is very specific. Choked me out, spit on my face in my mom's minivan.
And, my mom's minivan makes it.
Yeah. And then I said, yeah, you know, it was kind of crazy. And then I mentioned, I was like, oh, you know, I was kind of obsessed with her for like a couple of months there, because it was like this weird kind of attraction thing where it's like, I don't know. And I mentioned that. And then she asked, wait, so how long ago is this? And I was like, oh, you know, it's like 4 years ago or something. I don't know. And when I knew it was like
yesterday.
It was like 2 years ago. And it was at a time when me and Roxanne weren't dating, but we weren't monogamous together, but we were like, we had known each other. Like we were monogamous
with other people?
No, we had like hooked up and we were still kind of dating, but like we weren't at all exclusive. It was just like she was seeing other people, I was seeing other people. But for some reason, I felt like, oh, I'm going to say it was 4 years ago just because I don't know. Because my immediate reaction as an idiot is lie, because the truth is evil and will get you in trouble. And so so I lied, which was dumb. And then she got real quiet. And then, like, I mean, she didn't get immediately quiet, but she got quiet later. And then I was like, what's up? There's something wrong. I could tell. And she's like, I know you're lying about that girl. I was like, impossible.
You gotta double down immediately. You got to go all in.
You can't know that I lied about anything. And then
that's what you have to get indignant about. Yeah. Not that you lied, but you couldn't know that I lied.
It's impossible. You would know these things. And then she was like, "Well, I mean, I didn't do that. I just said I kind of went. What do you mean?" And then she was like, "Okay, well, I was at a bar, I was talking to, I think she was talking to someone she kind of knew, or an acquaintance, or someone she just met. I forget what it was. They were talking, and she mentioned that she had a boyfriend, and her boyfriend was a comedian. Oh, that's right. It was someone she had never met before, and she had to, and was hitting on her, which is fine. She's at a bar. She's a pretty girl. You expect that. And then he said, "Oh, I have, you know, a boyfriend." He's like, "Well, tell me about this boyfriend." "Oh, he's a comedian." He's like, "Well, what's his name? Matt." And he's like, "Wait, is it Matt Lieb?" And then he was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "From the Frotcast." And then she was like, "Yeah, that's right." And then the guy proceeds to go, "Oh, yeah, something like, yeah, he's kind of a weird dude. Like, did you hear about the time someone choked him out and spit on his face in his mom's minivan?"
Oh, this dude's trying to crush you.
I know. And then I was
like, "What's up with that?"
I was like, "Damn, that's cold-blooded."
Where's bro code, bro?
That is, I know. That was the first time I've ever wanted to be like, I think there's a reason for bro code, and it's not just patriarchy. And so and then she goes, "Oh no, I didn't know about that."
Well, in his mind, she's thinking she's gonna say, "He did that? Well, do you want to fuck then?"
Yeah, right.
That's how his mind's working yeah. right then.
Here's the thing I like best about this is that somebody told her that, and she was still totally untempted to listen to our podcast.
Well, no.
She's like, I mean, there could be all kinds of horrible secrets, and I just can't get through one. They just talk for so long.
No, that's what happened, though. She did. She
you
went,
can't get AIDS twice, guys.
She went in. She went into the broadcast and she found the episode.
Oh no!
And because she just wanted to listen to it, it was no big deal. That was the thing. Like she and that's the thing. After she listened to it, she didn't care. She just thought it was funny. She thought it was a hilarious thing. It wasn't until then I decided to lie about when it happened.
I think I was on that episode. Did she ask about me?
She has not asked about you. Although she does.
Wait, what did this guy at the bar look like? Was it I don't know. Was he Laramie shaped?
Wait a second.
Was he pear shaped?
Yeah. Did half of his face not work? I'm sorry.
Two face. Got you.
I'm sorry, Mofa.
The limp half's the bad half. He's the one that's gonna steal your girlfriend with podcast knowledge.
So whoever this fucking criminal is listening right now.
I mean, hopefully.
Yeah. Listening. He's
it's
out
funny
there.
Because it's like half of me wants to be like, "Fuck you, bro," but the other half wants to be like, "Thanks for listening."
Well played, sir.
Like half of it is just like, "Thanks for making me kind of feel like a celebrity, because that's cool." Also,
don't fuck my girlfriend.
Please don't fuck my girlfriend. Also,
there's a lot going on with
why
this.
Why you snitch? Yeah, there's a lot of feelings going on.
First of all, thank you. Yeah. Second of all, don't fuck my girlfriend. Number three, why you snitching?
Why you snitching? Yeah, because like that's the thing. I mean, listen, he at the end of the day, his snitching didn't. It was my own lying that got me in trouble.
Right. If you had just said if you had set up the appropriate timeline for when you got spat and choked upon
in your mom's minivan,
then everything would have been good.
Right, but my initial instinct was to lie. But at the same time, I was like, there's no reason anyone would, like, it's just the way she was talking about what he was saying and stuff. There's the only reason that he was doing that was so he could be like, "So anyways, the point is he's a fucking weirdo. Let's fuck." So yeah. Stop trying to fuck my girlfriend and stop snitching, but also thanks for listening.
Yeah, I don't want to be like bro code kind of guy, but at the same time, this is America, man. You should be able to tell your girlfriend a fairly white lie without somebody snitching on you.
You know, and that's a problem with podcasting in general is just, you know,
it's like, out there forever.
Like anyone could listen to it. And I kind of think like only non-snitches.
We
should just put up a quiz where, you know, like they do that thing where it doesn't really matter if you're over 21 to go on to Budweiser's website. Like, it's just 2 drop downs. You could fill out like, I'm 100,000 years old. I'm God himself.
Yeah, right.
I killed the dinosaurs. I am Tiamat, destroyer of worlds. And they're like, okay, cool. Here's some beer pictures. You could do that. But like whether or not you're a snitch and it's just 2, it's like, yes, I am a snitch. Or or no, I am not.
Well, first of all, I think a true non-snitch wouldn't snitch on himself for not being a snitch.
No, they can't resist. That's the thing about snitches, is that they'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm a snitch, and then you don't let them listen.
Yeah, because snitches always snitch. That's a good point.
Yeah, it's in their nature.
I think you got to trick them into it. Be like, what's your thoughts on Linda Tripp?
Yeah. Hey.
No. Hey, look, what about Judas?
Bro, you're on a turtle in the middle of the river. Do you sting the turtle?
Oh, yeah. Do you snitch?
Yeah.
There's two boxes. One is snitches get stitches. And the other is I'm a stoolie.
Yeah. Which one are you going to be, a stoolie or a snitch? But yeah, so I got in trouble with my girlfriend for that.
I do like the idea, like, if he had somehow masterminded that, where he's like, man, what am I going to do with all this pointless Fratcast knowledge that I have? And it's like, oh,
stop, Matt Lieb's girlfriend.
I'm definitely going to fuck this guy's girlfriend someday.
I'm a little impressed someone got something out of the thousands of hours we'd wasted on this goddamn
long
venture.
Long con.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I do appreciate our fans enough to know that, like, if he, like, had fucked my girlfriend, that he'd be like, thanks, Matt Lieb. like, it makes me go, like, you know what? Our fans are kind of ride or die that way.
It's one of the voicemails we haven't listened to yet, for sure.
No, yeah. You know how all of our emails end with, I did not get laid that night. That'd be cool if he told the story about how he snitched on you. And he's like, anyway, I did not get laid that night. Mm. Yeah.
What's her situation? Chewing on ice. Seriously, what's she like?
What's who? Is that my girlfriend?
Yeah. Tell us other stuff that would help us.
She loved me and only me.
If I'm at a bar with her, what could I tell her about you that would definitely be a disqualifier?
I don't know. You could tell
a deal breaker. I'm talking though.
Nothing, because she's in love with me no matter what.
The real you?
Yeah, the real me. She knows. Okay. Only she knows the real
blood
me.
Has been spilled on cuddly rock, and that blood cannot be washed away.
That's right. She and I are the lord and lady of cuddly rock.
Oh. That's cute.
Is it Snuggly Rock?
It's Snuggly Rock too. I haven't. Here's the thing. We started calling it Snuggly Rock after it being Cuddly Rock for a while, and I was like, the thing about Snuggly Rock is great, but Cuddly Rock sounds more like Casterly Rock.
It's true.
Rock,
it does. It plays closer to the source material.
Exactly. But Snuggly Rock kind of sounds.
I like Snuggly Rock. Snuggly Rock
it sounds cuter.
Yeah.
Let me throw this back at you.
Because rocks are not snuggly.
Let's say my man's at the bar. He sees your lady. The whole thing happens again. Matt Lieb, right?
Uh-huh.
And she goes, wait, do you mean Matt Lieb? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, fuck that, and just walks out.
Oh, yeah, does that make you feel better or worse?
I think she would have come after him, right? Like you would have had to.
Oh, wait, are you saying would my girlfriend have then fucked him?
No, I'm just saying that would have piqued her interest more than the other story, right? If he had just been like, you're shitting me, and just turned around and walked away.
I mean, honestly, I think I would have never known about the story because I would have never gotten in trouble for lying about being choked and spit on and when that happened in the timeline of my life.
She know about the robot butt?
What robot butt? Oh, you mean the big plastic butt? It wasn't a robot butt. It was just a butt. It was just a disembodied butt. And no, she doesn't know about the butt. So guess what? Frogcats listeners,
get out there and hunt.
Don't talk about fucking the silicone butt.
My girlfriend.
Silicone butt. Yeah. No, well, I mean, you talk about it with other friends. You talk about it with people who
like-minded fans.
Who you're trying to, you know, be like, hey, you know, you should listen to this podcast.
You can talk about it to your girlfriend.
You can talk about it with your girlfriend all you want, but just you
know, not his.
I like the idea that, you know, we're here.
I'll tell her about it on my own time.
We're just trying to use that as startup gang where it's like, hey, have you heard about Matt Lieb's silicone robot butt? Like, I'm sorry, who are you?
I like the idea that we're here, we're talking about the Jinx, you know, we're talking about stuff, and then somewhere there's like another podcast where like, so what did you guys think when Matt brought up silicone butt?
So when Laramie asked whether or not the Police Academy guy had a podcast, you know, there's like three people on the planet who don't have podcasts
right
at this point.
Yeah.
Bugsy's one of them, but he guessed on this.
Yeah, like Shaq, Pavarotti. And
Penny Hardaway
and ghosts.
Yeah,
ghosts. Yeah, they're the only ones.
Mm-hmm. They're ephemeral. They don't.
Yeah,
everyone's
you know on the podcast train now.
So Laramie,
hey Vince,
hey buddy. So I hate Christian Laettner.
Why?
No, I mean that's the title of the movie that we saw this week.
See what I did there? I watched that. It was the 30 for 30.
I love the concept of that. By the way, like they find some guy, they're like, man, everybody hates him.
Yeah,
we're gonna get to the bottom of.
But they didn't really. He seemed like a nice guy.
Like, I kind of think, I kind of wish somebody would make a movie called I Hate Suede Beret.
Yeah.
It would just be like interviews with me about. And there's, because you know how in the show they had like five prongs of hate for Christian Laettner.
Like also, they'd have like the hat maker of the brain. Like, I don't know why he's fucking wearing that.
So people really do hate Christian Laettner?
Oh, yeah.
Why? Oh, yeah. I don't understand. Like,
because
he was just a college player who was.
Well, I mean.
Good?
I mean,
everyone hates Duke, you know?
Yeah, they hate Duke. And he was,
started it.
He was like the embodiment of Duke. He had the floppy hair and he was just like.
Pretty prep boy entitled.
Right.
Yeah. He was basically like, they saw him as the embodiment of white privilege.
Oh, okay. That's fair, but
even if he wasn't.
But I mean, how long was he in college for?
4 years,
and then
he went to the Final Four all 4 years
and won two championships.
Right, but then he went to the NBA.
13 years,
and he was garbage.
Not good. Well, he wasn't garbage. He just wasn't great.
No, he was garbage compared to what he was going. Like, I mean, that was the thing. It was he was
supposed human to garbage.
He was supposed to be good, and then it was like
yeah.
And then it was like, oh, look at he's garbage.
Oh, I mean, compared to your game, probably, but yeah.
The NBA, you know, that's where, like, here's the thing. I'm just like, people love March Madness and all this shit. I don't, you know, fucking put them in the NBA, see how they do there. You know who didn't need the NBA? Kobe. You know
Kevin
who
Garnett
else?
Either.
Kevin Garnett. You know who else?
Moses Malone.
Kwame Brown. You know who else? Michael Olowokandi.
Greg,
all of the greatest basketball players.
Greg Oden.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Oden went to a year.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know if Greg Oden.
What was the other guy?
LeBron James. Ever heard of him?
Uh-huh.
I have.
That guy.
Andrew Bynum. Ever heard of him?
Yes.
I'm just saying, you know, fuck college ball. But I didn't know.
I think I hated Bobby Hurley more than Laettner. I think I did.
You think?
Because he was like, it was amazing. Because he must be like 6'3", 6'4". But somehow he looks like your 12-year-old little brother you just want to hit.
Yeah.
Like his haircut, everything about him was just like little and scrappy and annoying.
And when they interviewed him for the documentary, for some reason he's got like a wounded aspect to him. Like he just seems like a guy who's been like raped a bunch or something. He's like all twitchy and like, I don't know.
Oh, rape is fun. the thing about that dude too is like Laettner always was riding him. Which is pretty funny. That made me laugh. That made me happy. And then he was a terrible NBA player too, right?
Well, that was the other thing. They show Laettner riding him. And I see that a lot in sports documentaries where it's like you see one guy just like riding another guy. And then they'll always have interviews with other people. And they're like, I think he made him better.
Yeah, he motivated
him. And you're like, have you ever played sports before? Like if somebody...
you're like, fuck off.
If I clanked a shot and then one of my teammates was like yelling at me afterwards, I would hate that guy. That guy wouldn't make me better. That's not a good thing to do.
No, you want to kill that person.
Like Jordan, he was just the ultimate competitor. That's why he was so fucking mean to everyone.
Yeah. I love... Someone posted online, it was like... motivational posters with Michael Jordan quotes.
Mm-hmm.
It was all just the nastiest.
It's like, meanest. Oh, Cartwright fucking sucks.
Yeah. It's like, learn how to pass the ball, faggot. And stuff like that. I mean, the reason.
Yeah,
Kwame Brown never got over the fact that Jordan called him a faggot straight up. He said in practice he called him a faggot and just like, because, you know, he was picked by Jordan.
Kwame's like, first of all, hurtful. Second of all, mm-hmm. not accurate.
Right. I mean, it was one of those, you know, it's just like to be called that horrible of a word by Michael Jordan is that's the most, I mean, that would fuck me up for life.
Yeah.
And I just think that's, it's so funny that Michael Jordan was such a piece of shit.
But I love that always gets spun into the sports movie narrative where it's like, oh, he was just, you know,
he was great.
He was only riding him like that because he really believed in him. And it makes it like the sports athlete is some criminal mastermind where it's like, man, if I call this guy a dumb faggot 5 years from now.
I'll either destroy him completely or he will respond and become a good player.
Yeah.
One of the two. I'll take my chances.
He's going to let this ride.
with his psyche.
But I thought they made a good point about how the black culture was like just starting to be like the coolest thing ever in the early 90s, And so Duke was just pretty much like the perfect opposite of that, where everybody's like wearing. And I remember when everybody was wearing like Malcolm X hats and stuff.
Yeah.
That was good.
I wore that until I looked up Malcolm X and I was like, wait a minute. And I was like, this is before Wikipedia, though, so it was harder.
Yeah.
It was harder to know what people actually said. You had to go to the library.
Did you do that?
No. No. Only when I had to go do some fucking.
You know, Laramie, you don't always have to bring it back to sex. Like, that's
I
not,
do.
Like, it's cool when Matt Lieb does it.
Oh, man.
When you do it, it feels like you're trying too hard.
Laramie, he's going to be the famous one.
Yeah, and I'm gonna piggyback my way to success using using Vince and
but playing yourself.
But I'm gonna play myself.
I'm pretty sure Lita Dunham already did that to Vince, so get in line.
He hasn't brought that up publicly.
No, I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, it's not like anybody knew that she interviewed me, and nothing ever came of that. So it's not like
She interviewed you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. What did you say where you're like, I don't know, I mostly just poop? And when I poop, I like to listen to an audiobook.
It was probably exactly like the listener said where they're like, oh, this guy seems interesting. And then they come interview me and then they're like, oh, wow, this guy's not very interesting at all, actually.
I should never have dug deeper. This has been a mistake.
It was all there. This is just clay down here.
She gets you.
It's just clay and hard pan.
Nothing can grow here. There's a thin layer of soil and then it's rot.
It's just onion that's rotten inside.
You keep peeling back the layers and it's just garbage.
And I'm crying and it smells now too. Oh,
I have to throw the whole meal away.
Anyways, we'll run this next week. But they never did.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll appear as like a character on Girls or something. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be tight.
A composite.
Wait, who are we talking about?
Vince, not you, dick.
Oh, well.
What's your slingshot move?
I know, I'm going to slingshot. I mean, if you do that, I'm going to show up to the set and go, hey, Lena, let me play me. I'll tell you all about how I eat butt.
And you'll laugh. Work for Seinfeld, bro. Work for Seinfeld.
I could see Adam Driver as like a more muscular version of you.
Yeah, oh, he totally gets to be Matt Lieb.
Fuck you guys. He's not more muscular than me.
You're way nicer than he is.
Oh, thanks, man.
Why can't we do like an Entourage show?
Adam Driver in Girls is kind of like he's Matt Lieb on the inside, but then he's got like a kind of a tough exterior.
Yeah. On the outside, he's been abused by women, and he feels.
But he is also in recovery.
Honestly, I've only seen one season, and the season ended with him getting hit by a bus, and I thought he died. His character doesn't die at the end of that?
No.
Oh.
Mild injury.
I really should watch more of that show. I really liked that season. I was like, this is a really good show.
I thought the season wasn't good until the last three episodes, which were pretty great.
Because it's been Adam Light. Adam is the glue that holds the girls together.
Oh, of course you're saying that a guy is the reason a show about girls is good.
I don't know. It's hard not to. I mean, they all do a really good job. I like Shoshana a lot, too, since she cut off that side ponytail. I have a hard time with their hairstyles, and when they have better hairstyles, I have a much easier time with the show.
You're an enigma.
A cipher.
I don't understand you and why you are the way that you are.
I like it when they have good haircuts.
You're like...
like a nice top knot.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds racist.
It does. You're like Toby from The Office, you know? There's just something about you. I don't know why.
That was a great character.
Oh, so funny. I love that character.
Toby was Michael Scott's suede beret.
Totally. Absolutely.
He's just, I fucking don't like that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, did I tell you guys what happened at a screening recently?
No.
So I sit down and it's like a packed screening. And every time that happens, I sit down and I'm like, I'm looking for, you know, a screening that's not, I'm looking for a spot in the screening that's, there's not people around me.
Uh-huh.
And so usually my first step is I look around and I try to see where Suede Beret is and make sure that he's not near me.
Right.
Well, does he always wear the beret?
Yes, or always.
Really?
Yes, always. So there's two or three guys where I'm like, wherever these guys are, I need to sit on the opposite side of the theater because, like, if we're watching a comedy, just the sound of their laughter will partly ruin the movie for me.
Interesting. That's like a deep level of hatred for someone you've never actually. Okay.
So not suede beret.
Guy wears a suede beret.
So the suede beret is not the laughter guy. That's a different guy. But anyway, so I sit down and it's packed and I'm just looking around and I'm like, shit, I can tell some people have their seats saved. I don't know. Yeah. I sit down and I see like a newspaper on the chair and it's like a couple seats over and I don't see suede beret and I'm like, fuck. But it's the only place to sit.
You're like, so, I know it's suede beret.
So I'm like, I sit there, I sit down, and sure enough, fucking suede beret comes up and he's trying to get into the row. And he does this dick move where I'm sitting down and he's like, all right, man, you got to like stand up so I can get by you.
Right.
No, and he didn't.
He did.
He said that to you?
Yeah. Well, no, because I think he does this thing where he tries to play off his dickishness like it's a joke, but it's actually like not a joke. He actually is a prick. Yeah. So he said that and I just stood up and like walked down and walked like all the way around to the other side and went to sit somewhere else. And I just out of the corner of my eye, I saw him looking back like with this sort of like semi-wounded look on his face like, oh, that man, I was just joking.
That was a power move, Vincent.
That was a power move. But
I might have blown up my spot because I don't really want him to know that he's my secret nemesis, even though he is.
Yeah.
Because that would like cheapen the hatred somehow.
Hold on, though. You've not only have you seen him at a bunch of different screenings.
Right.
But you see him at like...
the coffee shop.
Coffee shops.
No, we've shared short conversations before.
So you have talked before.
Yeah, I've tried to play it like I've gritted my teeth and tried to play it off like I don't hate his guts.
Oh, okay, okay.
Do you know where his reviews go to?
I might.
Okay.
Okay, but
what's weird about this is, you know, we have a suede beret too, but it's a woman. She's not a critic. She always wears a suede beret, seriously. And she always rushes for the bus after the screening.
Yeah.
And like fucking sprints out of there and like throws elbows and then like hits the elevator button like 17 times before it closes, you know?
Oh, yeah. But she's,
no matter what time the movie gets out, she's always rushing. So I don't know what kind of bus schedule she's on.
But she's not a critic?
No, she's a rube. She's one who comes for the free movies. But she's always first in line no matter what. So she'll get there like 2 o'clock or something, right?
Oh, so she's like, she's got mental problems.
Oh, yeah, she's looking for someplace warm to lay her.
All right, that's different. That's like, yeah. She's of course she's rushing.
It's not that much different.
She's rushing
exactly
for
the
bus.
It is 100%.
Because she's
exactly.
trying to outrun death. Like, yeah. Like
that is how critics do things. Yeah. That is exactly
the same.
This is
the chick who asked the widow about his dead wife in the elevator.
Right.
And they want to die.
Yeah, I remember you talking about this person. Yeah, she's got mental problems. Problems. Yeah.
Right. It's weird.
Well, I'm glad you've actually talked to Suede Beret at some point.
Yeah, but I might have blown up my, you know, I might
yeah,
have
she definitely knows now. He
I might
knows.
Have blown my cover.
Well, you definitely blew your cover. The fact that you guys have talked before and then you pulled that move on him. I mean, you're going to have to like I mean, I don't know, it depends. Like it depends how
someone
Machiavellian you want to get.
Bar. See, he has a suede beret on. I'd be like, hey, you listen to the Frogcast?
Yeah.
You know about Matt Lieb and his robot butt?
Yeah.
That's going
to
be it.
He's slingshotting his way from the Frogcast to stardom, and he's never looking back.
Do you start asking, though, why does he wear the suede beret? That's the most galling thing, I think.
I think he's like massive head wound Harry under there.
Remember when the dog ate it?
Yeah. I think that was the only... Was that a recurring sketch, or
no,
was the dog...
No, they did it
once.
It was really funny.
We got a couple emails before you leave.
I hope they're as mean as the voicemail.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. Hey, guys. I just got introduced to the Frogcast by a friend, and I have been good on that friend.
Good
find
on
that
friend
and buy him some stuff.
He's the snitch.
No, but that's snitching in a good way. That's snitching about how good the Frogcast is. We're going to have to change the rule. New rule. No snitching unless you're snitching about how good the rock is.
You guys remember MacGyver where they had like they were going to cut that guy's fingers off unless he did drugs?
Yeah.
Do that, but tell him about the Frogcast instead of drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
I just got introduced to the Frogcast by a friend, and I have been catching up and watching old episodes as I work. I mean, I assume he meant listening. Cause
that's a good friend. Oh, sorry.
I am up to episode 65 from 2011. Late, I know.
We were really bad then.
Agreed.
Sorry.
And yo, Vince, I was wondering about, and Vince was wondering about why gay guys had a thing where they like scruffy facial hair and smooth bodies. Here's the thing, and Matt Lieb may want to hear this if he ever wants to switch teams.
All right, go on.
Getting your
hold on though. Matt Lieb wasn't on before episode like 200-300. So
I assume he did like the latest.
First,
and then
my
went
first
back
episode to... was episode 90.
Is that true?
Yeah, yeah, episode 91 or something. Yeah.
I think mine was like 12, maybe less. So
no, you, I mean
that.
You were. I didn't.
No, I'm just saying. It's no big deal. Just suck on that. That's all.
You motherfucker.
But here's the thing. Getting your ass eaten by someone with scruff feels 1,000 times better than having it done by someone who has a smooth face. Mystery solved.
I can see that 100% because I got an itchy butthole.
Like yeah,
non-stop itchy butthole. And just to like have somebody's beard just scratching my butthole probably feels awesome.
That cannot be it.
Every time I try and sleep without my underwear on, not every time, but it's like... most of the time I'll just be like, this is nice. This is adult. This is just naked sleep. And then I'll be like, fuck, my asshole itches. And there's no way I could scratch it without actually touching the inside of my asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting yourself a pink eye.
Exactly. And so, I have the same problem. It's just the itchiest asshole in the world.
Yeah, I got to love you. So, yeah, that sounds right. I can see that.
Is it because it's maybe softer or something?
No, it's because someone can't
be itching, guys. So you're not a human itching post for somebody eating your ass. Come on.
No, that's not. I mean, that's not everyone's reason.
Yeah, but it'd be mine.
It'd be mine too. So
I'd be like, thank you.
So who's to say it's not everyone's?
Me.
Well, hey, fuck you and your non-itchy asshole.
I'm gonna go A/B test this, and I'll get back to you.
All right.
Another one. Hey guys, I thought you would enjoy this especially buzzwordy LinkedIn description. And this is the quote from someone's job description, someone's skills, actually. With functional specialties in merging on and offline user experience, operations, growth, and retention, strategic planning, pivots, trust, and reputation reviews systems, and systems thinking.
Why is it with? Like, I tried to parse that.
I like the
and
pivots.
It starts with.
Well, that's the middle. He's starting mid sentence.
Is there a comma somewhere?
Starting mid sentence.
Oh.
With functional specialties in merging on and offline user experience, operations, growth, and retention, strategic planning, pivots, trust and reputation reviews, systems, and systems thinking. Sounds like I worked at Yelp.
How did I systems think?
I think that's the translation.
I'm almost enough down the hole. Like, I'm in the well where I understand the salamanders. I can almost... the water level is up, and I'm blowing bubbles, and I'm like, I get where you guys are coming from, where you grow up with gills, but then you shed the gills, and then you slither out, and you still need water because your skin's permeable.
Right.
Yeah?
You're like a mud skipper.
Yeah, like, you can't just go out and just, like, hold in your water because it's going to pour out, and you'll dry out, and you'll be like a little mummy newt.
Right.
So you have to go back into the vernal pools, and I get that, so I can go halfway there, and I can almost understand what they're trying to say, but they didn't use all the words that humans use in between the words that the robots use.
It's hard when they do something that has an Oxford comma where they're like, with blah, 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 and blah, 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 and then there's just another comma, and then it like starts in with other stuff.
Yeah. Like, put some regular people words in there between the machine.
With functional specialties in merging on and offline user experience. Okay, and then comma.
What's functional specialties, though?
Offline user experience?
That's where you fuck.
No, seriously. Yeah. If you run a website, what's the offline experience?
No, they'll suck your
dick.
That's
when you walk by the person's table and you're like, is everything okay, sir? And they say yes. And you're like, okay, cool. Okay. And then they're like, oh, this guy's going to write a good Yelp review.
This guy's great at UX.
The user experience is not fucking Matt's girlfriend. Don't fucking do that. That's not a good user experience.
The definitely GUI not offline. This guy writes in his moleskin is excellent.
Just draws a picture of a button.
So that part, okay. So he's got the functional specialties in merging on and offline user experience. And then there's a comma.
All right, so he's a salesperson.
Okay. And then operations, growth, and retention.
I think still a salesperson.
Another comma. Strategic planning, pivots, trust and reputation review systems. And
motherfucker, we got to pivot immediately.
And systems thinking. What is systems thinking exactly?
All right, that one's the one I understand the most. That's where you have, like, an idea.
Spreadsheets?
No, it's mind
or PDFs.
Maps. You got the thing in the middle.
Flowcharts.
Yeah, flowcharts.
Okay.
Yeah, that's systems thinking.
Okay.
So reference architecture.
No, look, you got to be able to draw arrows in at least four different colors. Okay. That's how many markers you have on the whiteboard.
Right. And there's got
to
be like,
and you got to be able to draw an arrow in each of those colors.
This is all just reminding me why I just can't work in an office anymore in San Francisco. Like I can't.
Well, then everybody knows you're a butt eater.
Well. That's discrimination. Why are you discriminating against me? You're saying because I podcast about eating butt that they wouldn't give me an office job?
You've painted yourself into this corner where you can only play yourself.
This is like my Eric Berry corner. As a butt. Like, you're saying like Eric Berry before me, I now could only live as this world is Matt Lee because I eat butt and admit it.
Mr. Lee, we've reviewed your resume and it doesn't say butt eater on there.
And we know you are because you're famous for it.
Or the flip side, where his resume is just I eat butt, like all jack and no play.
Yeah.
I googled Matt Lee, but I got to L and it just said Matt Lee eats butts.
Yeah. Or just M. And Google's like, did you mean Matt Lieb?
Just M? Did you mean Matt Lieb eats assholes and talks about it? I could still get an office job if I wanted one. I just don't want
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. Well, you don't need that. You're on Talk 9.
I got Talk 9. Manny. Anyways, I gotta go.
Okay. We got a couple more emails to
read.
Oh,
yeah,
but
go ahead.
Hey, thanks for your contribution.
No, fuck you. I want to hear the emails.
This is why you weren't on early episodes, Matt.
Oh,
wait, why?
Laramie's got nothing but time.
It's kind of fucking material right here. Why don't you respect the goddamn legacy?
Right? Was Laramie our first guest?
Nah, I don't think so. It's pretty early, though.
I don't know. He's early on.
Yeah.
I was later.
I drink to forget.
I was.
Remember the Christmas special where I blacked out and then we erased it and it worked out perfectly? Because I forgot Joe was on, but we erased it.
That was a good episode.
It was great, but I was full on not remembering.
Yeah, Joe crushed it, though, and nobody will ever get to hear it. Frogcast. So I went to an evangelical Christian university for undergrad, and one of the courses I took was world religions, which, to its credit, was pretty straightforward and non-judgmental for a conservative Christian school. Part of the course involved going to different houses of worship, including a Friday night service at a Jewish temple. Our class went, and after the service, there was a potluck-style get-together after where we could meet and converse with the congregants. This is an actual conversation that happened. Student: so, how long have you been Jewish? Woman: my whole life? Student: oh, shit, I forgot. Oops. Seeing as how this was a temple in West Virginia, I'm sure they were used to it, but I shook my head.
Wait, what did the person...
Jews in West Virginia?
What did the person forget?
That you're born into
that you're
Judaism.
Born Jewish.
Yeah.
Wow. That's fucking weird. It's wild.
Super wild.
Wet.
Oh, I thought you had to become one through worshiping the devil.
Or you get bitten by a cat at midnight. Yeah. And then that's how.
You get bitten by a bat and then you have a bat mitzvah. And then that's how you become a Jew.
Jesus.
Scree!
Yeah, yeah. Where were your puns like that on episode 12? Did you come in fucking shooting with some puns like that?
I can't compete with that.
No, hey, you can't.
He did show up with "You can't get AIDS twice."
Yeah, it's true.
I think he just has little quips like that written in the notebook.
Written down, yeah. Yep.
Vince has lists of people he hates in different categories of people. He's like, look, traffic cops I hate, NPR hosts I hate, film critics I hate, and then Laramie's just got funny things to say at the beginning of a podcast.
I got quips.
Laramie, how many podcasts are you doing right now?
Like, how many do I have going?
Yeah, how many podcasts have you done in the last month?
Oh, not that many.
Four?
Four?
Yeah. That's too many podcasts, dogs.
Four different titles. Numerous podcasts within those titles.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like to talk in the dark by myself.
are they all hosted by Laramie?
I think only one of them is.
Oh, that would be dope, though.
I'm usually the special guest, Matt Lee.
And this is Laramie's other podcast. I feel like...
Welcome to Laramie's Podcast 4.
I feel like we're being pitted against each other when all I want to do is love you.
I love you so much.
I love you so much, and I miss you.
Let's bring it back.
And I don't know why. Someone's pitting us against each other.
Why do I lash out?
I don't remember why I lashed out.
They're trying to get you to hate each other. Who's someone they? Can fuck your girlfriend.
Someone's trying to fuck our girlfriends and our wives.
I don't want that.
I don't want that either. Unless you want to do tradesies.
Okay, we'll have these, sure.
We're the only ones who fuck our girlfriends and wives.
If anyone's going to fuck my girlfriend, it's going to be Laramie Legal.
You better not fuck anybody who half of their body is working correctly.
Oh. I get a little bit droopy. That's all.
Oh, do me like Laramie.
Do me droop style.
Droop doggy dog.
Lick half my clit.
Yeah. Thanks. Stroke me like you got a stroke.
Oh.
Rocking
the booze.
It's a palsy, not a stroke.
Yeah, I know.
Similar though. They thought it was a stroke for a second.
Yeah, I'm glad it wasn't.
And I was listening to the Strokes. Stroking it.
Yeah.
Last night, she lost a feeling in her face.
She doesn't remember words. She doesn't remember me. And people, they don't understand. And she
half of my face don't understand,
and most of her brain definitely don't understand. Take it, lady.
Last night, where am I? I'm lost in a park. Someone help me,
man. We need to get some more like people with disabilities that you shouldn't joke about on the podcast, so we could tell horrible jokes about them.
Yeah, we should. Mm.
Oh, all right, well, that felt good.
Yeah, it's good to laugh.
It's good to laugh.
Laramie, did you see The Gunman?
Did not see The Gun.
Neither did I. Did you get an invite to Divergent Insurgent?
I've seen Divergent Insurgent Resurgent.
Emergent Detergent. Yeah.
Divergent Insurgent Emergent Detergent. Metallurgent.
It's actually called
Lysurgent.
Series of Surgent.
That's where you shine, man. Is remembering words that sound like other words immediately upon hearing the word.
Lysurgent is pretty amazing because you've taken Lysurgic.
Metallurgent's pretty good, too.
Yeah, like, no,
I'm not sure I would ever come up with that word.
No, I never would have. I don't even know what a metallurgent is.
It's like a metal. It's like a
metal.
Yeah, it's metallurgy.
Put metal together.
It's like the act of.
When you melt metal, them, put them together.
Yeah.
Well, I still don't know. You guys
it's
are just
pretty good.
That.
I'm just saying.
You remember T2?
Those are the only two I got, by the way. I'm all out.
Yeah,
after
I'm not
going
to put you on the spot. Right. You did. You
I
did
tried.
Your part.
I sat here for five. Yeah. You gave me 5 minutes to think about another one. Yeah. And I was like, I got nothing.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get one.
So I didn't get an. So I didn't get an invite to that. How was it?
How'd that feel?
It felt bad. No, it was weird. The PR company that handles all the screenings were somehow not handling that one.
Resurgent? Did anyone say Resurgent?
Well, yeah, I think we did.
No, that's all yours.
All right. I got to go.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Laramie.
Yeah.
I love you.
You too, bud.
Hey, guys. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Have fun.
Okay.
So.
Bye.
Laramie.
That guy eats butts.
Insurgent.
I'm still here.
Oh, damn it. Sorry. Insurgent, yeah. 4 stars.
So she gets a haircut and cries, I imagine, right? She
joins LPGA.
Okay.
And
all right.
Yeah, there's some crying. There's a sexy...
Bye, guy.
God damn it. This guy. Is he still there?
Nice. I watched a movie where someone gets a haircut and cries, and that's the whole movie.
There's a sex scene that lasts about a second and a half.
As like all the
I don't remember them filming me
that I
sing
like all the sex scenes I shoot my load quickly
let me just Google refractory periods.
Okay. So not great. I didn't see the last one.
Well, I thought it was better than the first one. The first one's really, really bad.
So
this one's just average.
So the plot is that she,
everyone's in the factions.
She can feel feelings, which makes her special. Is that it?
Pretty close. See, everyone's breaking out into one of these factions. One of them's honest. The other one's, you know, fearless, some other bullshit.
Uh-huh.
And then she can do all five of them. So she's like the chosen one. But you know what? She's awkward and she doesn't understand it. And she doesn't really get why people find her attractive and stuff. You know,
She doesn't know she's pretty, but she doesn't know she's pretty.
Exactly, yeah. Wow. But her boyfriend thinks she's just amazingly beautiful and so powerful.
So is Ansel Elgort in this one or no?
Who that?
I don't know. He's like a guy that's in movies that kids watch.
And let me Google that guy. Don't look at me, Bugsy. I don't have time for your ass.
Ansel Elgort.
Oh, I see him. He is in this. Yeah, he's her brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's the one that they made love in the movie with the cancer and the thing in her nose, the fault in our stars.
He's 21, so he's legal.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Take him out for a drink. Show him the 50 states.
So this movie does have both Ansel Elgort and Suki Waterhouse, which I feel like they're like first ballot all name team for their generation, right?
Who is Suki Waterhouse in this?
She's Bradley Cooper's girlfriend.
Cover. Who is she in the movie? I can't figure that out. Anyway, what else?
I don't know. She's probably the pretty girl number 7.
I like that girl. She's also known as Suki Alice. I don't know why she'd be known as that.
So Laramie, stop your Googling and just tell me about this movie. Because people are gonna like our listeners, they really want to know about
I know they do. Naomi Watts is in it, as is Kate Winslet. So they got some acting chops.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it's her job to save the world from the evil people who want to take. So she's called Divergent because she doesn't belong to one thing, right? So she's a Divergent character.
Well, she's special. That's
hey, Laramie, did you read the book?
I read the first two.
Are you serious?
Is there some weird like fuck stuff in there? Because I remember like when you'd read young adult stuff, it was hot because there'd be like a weird fuck scene where they're like in the pool and they're fucking, but they're aliens.
No, I don't think there's any.
Did you actually read Insurgent?
Yeah, I didn't read the third one because it was unreadable.
Jesus Christ! Well, how were the first two?
The bad because there's no fuck scenes. That was the whole like in eighth grade when you're like figuring out that there's fuck scenes in books.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
then you can jerk off the books.
Yeah,
that's like an eye opening or you know like crotch opening.
I remember
experience.
Reading Bo Knows Bo, the Bo Jackson autobiography, in like fifth grade, and he was talking about how him and his friends when they were little kids,
Auburn University.
They used to take off their like when he was like 8 years old. Him and the kids in the neighborhood, they used to play a game where they take their clothes off and like lay on each other. And that's literally the only thing I remember about the book.
So clearly,
that was the selling point of Bo Knows Bo.
For your point, Brett, all the Gene All books, Clan of the Cave Bear, have epic sex scenes.
Yeah, I remember that. I read some garbage thing where they're in the pool and they're fucking. That's the only thing I remember about eighth grade.
And then Clive Barker's Weave World has quite a great sex scene.
How much time do you have that you're just sitting around reading like little books, books for 13-year-old girls?
I read these before. These were a glimmer in... Movie Summit World's Eyes.
Were you just doing research in case you had to like try and date a 12-year-old?
Like I've read Hunger Games. I've read all those. Man.
I know. Yeah, that's weird. Why
they
is
take
that?
Like 30
why
seconds
you,
to read?
Why did you do that?
They take like 30 seconds to read.
Are you sure? Did you buy these on Amazon? Because if so, I think you're on a watch list somewhere.
Damn it. I have like 40 books on my Kindle right now, Vincent.
Oh, okay.
And only 38 of them are young adults, so fuck off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of them are Bo Jackson books, weirdly.
You're trolling the supernatural romance section at Barnes & Noble?
Yeah. I guess one of these feelings these young girls have is they're pretty, but they don't know they're pretty.
It seems like a number one tenet of these.
Common theme.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is that her magical power?
That she's pretty. She doesn't know she's pretty.
Uh-huh.
Now, her magical power is she can do all the things at once. She can be honest. She can be smart. She can be fearless. She can raise crops or some shit.
This is the dumbest book I've ever had told to me. Is that really the story?
There's a rebellion.
Wait, they cat. That's like she has attributes, and they're like, "Oh, you are six in all six of them. The six is the highest number of all the attributes, and you get them all."
Yes,
that's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Well, here, let me beat you at
that's
that.
That's like her some base level.
Hold on. I can up that. Her boyfriend is named Four, and you want to know why he's named Four?
He's like, people are like, what's a butt for? And he's like, me.
No, I think it's because they had Russell Brand. His real name was Thor, but he does that accent where all the THs sound like Fs.
No, you dipshits. It's because he has four of the attributes.
Oh.
Wait, how many attributes are there?
I think there's five.
Yeah. Which one does he lack? Humility?
But farting or something.
Bofa. He's weak in Bofa.
Here, let me look up the, let's see, Divergent Factions.
Don't look it up.
He's done a lot of Googling this.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, don't get upset.
I went pee. I didn't hear the magical power part.
Yeah, there's brave, selfless, intelligent, peaceful, and honest.
This is like how they teach kids that don't know human emotions how to feel human emotions. This is like some base level being a human shit.
Mm-hmm. Like the brave people are called dauntless.
Oh, fucking fuck off.
And the honest people are called candor.
Okay.
And the intelligent people are called erudite.
Wait, is that? I thought candor meant like ability to uphold a conversation, like ability to sustain it. It's not. That's not what the word means.
It's, no, it's
honesty.
Yeah, it's honesty.
Really.
Dead straight honesty.
Oh, mm-hmm. Man, I need to reevaluate some shit.
Because you go, let me allow you to be candid with you for a second.
Oh, yeah. Candid and candor are the fucking same thing?
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, you've redeemed yourself. I learned something new from your stupid book reading.
The California candor. It's endangered, but we bred some in the lab. They eat corpses of things.
6 foot wingspan of honesty. What the fuck, man? Is this what it's like in there?
Brett gets like 3 beers in him and he just swears. He's just like make, a big
it makes
potty
more
mouth.
Of a mandor. It's kendo.
Can we just do a podcast where it's all free association of words from Ben's
Wait,
head?
We're not doing that?
Resurgent. Remergency.
Hey, don't make a pandor.
Wow, I had some niche audience shit right there.
But really, don't you think they should have gotten Foreigner to sing the theme song? That's all I can think every time they say the name.
Yeah.
Surgeon. Insurgency.
It's so insurgent.
Foreigner's pretty good.
There's a lot of stuff they should have done differently.
Hey, is there anything to look forward to movie-wise except for Mad Max? Because all I'm seeing is Mad Max on the horizon.
That looks pretty good, though.
Yeah, no shit, but like, I don't know if it can redeem cinema as an institution.
What is that? Oh, I see. I get it.
I mean, this is a pretty hot jam. I think we can all agree. Like, people rip on this era of rock, but, you know, there were some gems in there.
I like Def Leppard.
Yeah.
Bob Lark 2's coming in.
This is not as overproduced as Def Leppard.
I like this better.
I mean,
than
it's, pretty, it's pretty overproduced. We hear that singing. That's Candor in his voice right there. Got fire in your veins. Burning hot. Desire's insane.
This song's about fucking.
Oh, is it? I just got that.
This is a snitch song.
Yeah. Okay, we just listen to the song for the rest of the podcast.
I like how it kind of goes like it kind of goes minor key a little bit in the chorus. Yeah. It's kind of a reverse of the normal thing.
This is the kind of, you know, where I'm like only minor key. This is the kind of major I'll tolerate where it vibrates. That's a horn.
Yes. Brett had some trouble recognizing a horn on the past.
I didn't know what they were. The sounds are foreign to me.
They sound foreign. Yeah. I mean, he's got the slap bass in there too.
It's a really
it's
good
not,
song.
It's not bad.
I like it.
They didn't use that in the movie?
No.
I guess Ex Machina is supposed to be good, Brett.
That's the one they did the fake Tinder profile for.
I know, and that's stupid, and I hate that. But
did they make your phone?
No, they stupid.
Was that the? I don't know. I already forgot because you told
the,
me to.
What's his face from The Fall? Is that the
Tarsem Singh?
Yeah. Is that the same one?
I don't. Think so.
I'm gonna punch that movie in the face if it is.
But see, this is the way I feel. I was thinking about I should boycott the stupid Tinder profile movie, but then I thought, well, and then I'm hurting myself, and then they win again.
It's now the marketers, though. Nothing to do with the film, you know.
Yeah, look, hey.
Someone's got to be punished. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, it's fair.
On this, we agree.
Just who? Where should your wrath go?
Yeah.
Look, if you want to see something, absolutely see it. I think you should enjoy life to the fullest. I'm just saying.
Someone must
don't give them an in. Don't let them have a moment of your time that you aren't interested in providing for entertainment for you.
Magic Mike XXL.
That looks like it's gonna make Magic Mike 1 look like The Hours.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're coming up on an hour 40 here. Thing to bed.
Let's do it.
Laramie,
mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot for stopping by.
Thank you, Vince. It was lovely, as always.
It was.
You too, Brett.
Hey.
When did your review of Divergency come out?
I don't know. Probably when I write it. You want one?
Yeah. No, wait. I guess I can't have two.
Do it. What the fuck do you care?
I already told Heather that she could review it.
Do two.
It's fun.
Make them fight like you made Matt and Laramie fight.
Okay.
Be the puppet master. Make all your little puppets dance.
I can do you a list.
No, ooh, I like that.
Make dueling reviews. People would be into that. It's a good idea, and you should pay me for it.
And then we'd vote, and Laramie would lose. So everyone likes to hate.
I like the
I'm
idea.
The Christian Leitner of the.
I don't know how you got to be the heel of the.
I don't know either. I'm
that's
so
a
nice.
Little, you're very nice, except for the AIDS stuff. That's a little over the line.
All right, fair.
You should definitely do a list. I think that's your format.
Some sort of divergent list.
Yeah.
I don't all know. Right. I think you shouldn't just like make people fight all the time.
Okay.
Just make
Brett's it. Really into this Thunderdome kind of situation.
I really.
That's the only thing that he believes in.
You Thunderdome bust a deal, is Brett's you spin religion. The wheel.
Yeah.
In my world, everyone wears a giant paper mache hat as they head off into the desert.
Battle Royale is not just a sandwich to Brett.
Do you have anything else that we need to know that you can promote that you want to talk? About.
Well, I mean, people should go support that Kickstarter that's not going to make it. They should do that. Just
you and Ben.
Just type my name, Laramie, in there. You'll find it.
You and Ben.
Yeah.
You're not going to make it? You were at like 1,300.
I know. Where's our monies at? I had like 8,000 film critic fuckers.
Really?
Yeah, nice. But I didn't make it.
Oh.
I think people get right to the thing and then don't make it. I think it's an algorithm. just get it within you. $200 and end it.
Yeah. All right. And Brett, you know, you can find him somewhere.
Possum doing Brett Grave, stuff.
Possum Graveyard Possum on Twitter.
Possum Graveyard on
I'm
Twitter.
I'm better on Twitter than I am in real life.
It's true.
You give excellent Twitter.
Thank you.
You know, Matt Lieb, thanks to him. We almost had Justin Halpern on. You can.
Oh.
He's working on his pilot.
I heard his show got canceled again.
Yeah, but he's working on a pilot now. He's always, you know, he falls.
Like he's blowing an airline pilot?
He falls right on his feet.
Okay.
Anyway. Thanks for listening, you guys, and until next week.
Don't snitch.
Don't snitch.